Welcome into Scoops with DannyMac.com, and it's Wednesdays with Walton. We're coming to you from the Lou Fuse Automotive Studios, and this is brought to you in brilliant clarity by Lordo's Diamonds, family-owned and operated for over 60 years. Top-quality jewelry at affordable prices, so stop paying too much at the chain stores and experience the Lordo's Diamonds difference. They're located on 9222 Clayton Road, right in the heart of Ladue. The phone number, 432-8008, 432-8008. When you walk in, you're going to see Mike and Jimmy Lordo. Jimmy, one of my best friends in the world. They're there every day and welcome the opportunity to work with you, and you'll enjoy the relaxed and no-pressure atmosphere, and selection there is second to none. I get all my jewelry there, everything that my wife wears. That's from Lordo's Diamonds. They are great people. They want to help you. LordosDiamonds.com. LordosDiamonds.com. See their selection online. Think Lordo's Diamonds. Lots to get into when we talk it over with Brian Walton. We're going to talk about Rob Manfred and the labor situation. We're going to get into the step camp, the Carlos Martinez shutdown for 2 weeks issue. What does that mean for the St. Louis Cardinals, in particular Alex Reyes, some of the top prospects? All that coming up. Long visit with Brian Walton. I think you'll enjoy it. This is Scoops with DannyMac.com. Hey, Cardinals fans. Dan McLaughlin here from my friends at Schnucks. No, it's still not baseball season, but we can start getting ready. If you haven't already, start spring training by downloading the Schnucks Rewards app. That way, when you're loading up on the brats, the burgers, and everything else you need for Cardinals games, you'll be earning points and money off at Schnucks. Think of all those savings over the course of the entire season, and make sure you shop at Schnucks. Download the Schnucks Rewards app today. It's almost here. Get ready at Schnucks.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. There's never been a better time to look at a refinance. Maybe it's time to get rid of the PMI or get some cash out to pay off the credit cards. 5 minutes could save you $500 a month. Thehomeloanexpert.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Wednesdays with Walton, and our chance to visit with Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com. And Brian, we're coming to you from the Lou Fuse Automotive Studios. Brian Walton will be here in Jupiter very shortly. Minor league camp will open up in a couple of weeks, but the step camp will open up over the weekend. Guys will be on the field over the weekend, and much of that time is spent in the classroom. We'll get into that later in our visit here on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. I advise anybody that loves Cardinal baseball, you love the minor leagues, to go to thecardinalnation.com, and you'll see many of the minor leaguers in games starting this weekend. This Saturday, the first game of the spring camp opens up against Miami. What a shocker that may be for fans. You'll see a lot of the Marlins and the Cardinals, and that begins on Fox Sports Midwest this Saturday. Just posted on the website is a new article from Brian, and it is about Carlos Martinez hitting the DL, at least for a couple of weeks. Brian, can we say the DL? Is that official, or what do we have to say?
No, we really need to change our vernacular to injured list so that we are politically correct, Dan.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So Carlos Martinez is going to be sidelined, as we found out from Mike Schilt yesterday. He is on the injured list for at least a couple of weeks. Brian, good to hear from you. What does this mean? You just posted an article on thecardinalnation.com. What does it mean that Carlos Martinez goes on the injured list?
Well, I think from the team's perspective, it gives them a chance to look at some of the many other starting pitchers in camp and maybe for them to get a few more innings. You know, we've got a reserve judgment on, I guess, Martinez is going to get looked at, March 5th, something like that, to look to see if he can, in fact, bounce back and start the season on a normal routine, or whether this is going to be more of a lingering, ongoing thing. You know, the words just sound good now. We'll just have to see what happens. But I took a look at the Martinez situation from a little bit different perspective, and it was sort of like, here we go again. I mean, folks remember two springs ago, Alex Reyes basically blew out his elbow before even everybody had reported to camp. And so I went back and looked at the data, and last season, the Cardinals had the second most disabled list stints in all of Major League Baseball, only after the Dodgers, who, of course, were confused, you know, were accused by a number of folks of, you know, manipulating the 10-day DL to stream pitchers. And further, of the 36 incidents on the disabled list last season that the Cardinals had, 24 of them were pitchers. So, you know, Cardinals have had more than their share of pitching injuries in recent times.
You know, I think it's also interesting what the Cardinals did with Alex Reyes yesterday. He was to throw a bullpen, and then he bumped up right away, and he started to throw against live hitters. And not to look into it too much, but that does speed up, if you will, his process individually. You know, they were going to go slowly with him, but then he goes to live hitters. And I think that means, you know what, he's looking good. And maybe that's a way of saying, hey, not that we're going to throw you into the fire and all of a sudden you're in the rotation, but it is to say, hey, you're looking good and the process is going in the right direction. We've got one man down and you're moving up in the process.
Yeah, I agree, Dan. And, you know, when I was down there for Instructional League in, I guess maybe like 5 or 6 weeks ago, and Alex was down there at the time and he was, you know, already throwing then and off a mound. So I considered that a positive step. Obviously, given the last 2 years of disappointment, they're going to take it easy. They're going to keep expectations set low. But you look at what Reyes is doing. I should have said Reyes, not Martinez. What Reyes is doing is a very positive thing, and you know that is one of the buffers that they have. But you know, it's interesting. I went back and looked at the opening rosters of the Cardinals back for like the last decade. The last time St. Louis opened the regular season without a starting pitcher on the DL was back in 2000.
Wow.
So, you know, and granted, it's still early. Martinez may be ready to go and everything will be fine, but it's literally been 9 years since, you know, for a while it was Carpenter and Wainwright a couple of times and Jaime Garcia and Lance Lynn and Reyes, of course. You know, there's always been this string of one starter, you know, that's not ready to go. But the good news is, as we talked about, they have considerable depth right now. If you're going to have an injury in one place on this team, the starting rotation is probably the place to have it.
Well, the things that Brian Walton does, and again, he writes every single day, and that includes Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, Easter, it doesn't matter. I'm going to steal this from you, Brian. Is that okay? Can I do this on the website right now?
Do what, man?
Well, I'm going to quote something from your article today.
Oh, please do.
Okay, it says, over the prior 3 years, the Cardinals have opened the regular season with an average, as you mentioned, of just under four pitchers on the DL. Or the, what is it again, the injured list? Is that correct?
Well, in the past, now see, now you can't.
Okay,
me
so you're correct here. Okay, that works for that.
It was the DL at the time.
Okay, that now you're, I'm going to hold you to that. You're correct. So that works then. Some were short-term injuries and others like Reyes. 2018, three. Reyes, Adam Wainwright, Luke Gregerson. 2017, five. Reyes, Trevor Rosenthal, John Gant, Tyler Lyon, Zach Duke. 2016, three, Lance Lynn, Jordan Walden, and Mitch Harris. Man, oh, man. And then you said you had to go all the way back to 2000, the last time that it happened in which they opened up, if you will, pain-free, injury-free. And that was the last time that it happened in which they opened up and the guys were not injured and the team said, well, away we go, and we're injury-free and we open up the season and our starting five and our pitchers are injury-free, pain-free, and ready to roll.
You know, it's a good indication, Dan, of the fact that folks worry about depth and they want to trade away depth. Oh, my gosh, we have too many starters. Let's trade away some of these guys. I mean, you just never know what's going to happen in camp, and history shows us that there's a number of guys that are going to go down. And the same thing goes with the bullpen. Oh, my gosh, there's so many guys without options, and what are we going to do? Well, it'll probably work itself out, you know, over the next month.
Man, oh, man, that's amazing, and that's good research on your part. I love your takes, and you're such a baseball an affectionate term. I say it about myself, so don't get mad when I say this. You're such a baseball geek, okay? I'm a geek, so don't get mad at me, Brian, okay?
Well, here's the deal. I'm involved in the fantasy baseball world, but also the fantasy football world a little bit, and I was insulted a little bit when one of my friends said, basically, you know, didn't give me much credibility in the fantasy football world because, hey, he's a baseball guy. And, you know, after I thought about it, reflected a little bit, I realized he's right. I'm a baseball guy. I admit it.
So we're geeks. That's a good thing.
Yes.
And so when you have your viewpoints and your opinions on, let's say, labor situations, I really love reading what you have to say. And Rob Manfred was in West Palm Beach a few days ago and addressed the media. I had a friend of mine many friends of mine that were both media, outside the media, that were at that. And when he addressed the media, This one particular friend said it was the most animated he had ever seen the commissioner ever on any topic, whether it would be pace of play or just the state of the game. But when it got to talking about the labor negotiations or just the, you know, the current climate of that, he said it was the most animated he'd ever seen. He was just upset, it looked like, and was just very hot. And I love reading what you have to say about this. Give me your take on what you saw or read about what the commissioner had to say about that. And you wrote about it on your site this past week. I would advise, anybody to go read it. It was really good stuff. But just your take on Rob Manfred and what he had to say this past week.
Well, the timing was most fortuitous in that there's this annual opportunity scheduled where Manfred and all the general managers are all together. And that happened to be literally like the day after Adam Wainwright was quoted nationally saying, unless something changes, there's going to be a strike 100%. I'm just worried people are going to walk out mid-season. And I think the strength of his comments from somebody with the credibility and the respect that Adam Wainwright has across the game, you know, set everybody aback. It's like, yeah, there's concerns about what's going on right now. But to say 3 years ahead of the next labor agreement, yeah, boy, there's going to be a strike for sure. And, oh, by the way, we're thinking about walking – some guys, not me, him, Wainwright personally, but some guys are thinking about walking off this year. And it's like, whoa, hold on. And so, you know, Manfred came and basically said, listen, nobody's even negotiating yet. What the heck are you talking about strike? Well, how does that help anybody? And, you know, that's right. And the whole perspective of my article was from that of the fans. And it's like, listen, whatever side you're on, owners, players, whatever, these guys need to get in a room. They need to go work on their problems. And don't threaten to walk off and go on strike. Because if the players were on strike right now, odds are the courts would order them back to work. Because there hasn't been proven that the owners have acted against the agreement that was put in place. Yeah, the agreement's bad. Yeah, the players made a mistake. Hey, they're so confident in their leadership, they gave Tony Clark a new contract. So what does that say? I just think the players also need to look in the mirror. They need to get their act together and decide where and how they want to fight and stop the rhetoric in the press.
You know, part of that, too, and I know you've been on this bandwagon, and rightfully so. Many players have talked about it, those that have spent many years in the minor leagues especially, about the minor leaguers. You know, the guys that are down there that aren't making any kind of money outside of the bonus babies, if you will. And those guys get a lot of that money through the bonus. But then once they're in, they're not making money. If you can give our listeners, Brian, an idea of what a minor leaguer is making, especially on the low end of the minor leagues, chasing their dream. Can you talk about that and then why that's important to maybe tie it into the labor negotiations going forward? And you've written about this, talked about it, but encompass that whole situation and why it's important going forward with this negotiations that if you're fighting for your brethren, which is not only your major league brothers, but also your minor league brothers, why that's important going forward. And then, you know, try to explain that to our listeners. To tie it all in, why it's all important going forward.
Historically, minor leaguers have been considered seasonal employees. And so because of that, they are not eligible to be paid minimum wage. So, you know, the kid flipping hamburgers at McDonald's is making more per hour than a minor league player. The minimum salary for minor leaguers is $1,100 a month during the season. So that means any camps, special camps, spring training, they're not paid. They don't receive a salary. So, you know, you look and they're under, you know, they're being paid under poverty level. And the position in Major League Baseball is, that's, you know, that's the way it is. They're seasonal employees. And they lobbied to get a law passed called the Save America's Pastime Act, ironically named, that gives them the protection of federal law to not, to continue to pay minor leaguers below minimum wage. And, you know, this is a problem for a lot of these kids because we see the Nolan Gorman should get $3 million. Well, the number of players who got, you know, more than $500,000 from the Cardinals last year, for example, were five. The organization signed like 50 or 60 players. So, you know, the vast majority of these kids are getting signing bonuses of $1,000 or $3,000, you know, very little money in signing bonus and very little in salary. And, you know, Tony Clark and the players union say, well, we stand, you know, shoulder to shoulder with the minor leaguers. Well, the players union did nothing to stop the Save America's Pastime Act, which made it harder for for a change to occur in minor league salaries. And, you know, even Wainwright in his comments, you know, he came out the day after he talked on the radio and went on Twitter and interacted with fans, and he basically made the same kind of statement. Well, they're not standing alongside the major league player, the minor league players, until they figure out how to include them in the union and fight for them. And in my opinion, the reason that's not happening, number one, is the players' union has so many other issues on the table. Minor league salaries, you know, minor leaguers are down the road, down the list. But also that in order for them to get concessions to help minor leaguers, the major leaguers are going to have to give up something, and they don't want to do that. So the situation with minor league salaries isn't going to get solved anytime soon, because the Players Association, if they're not willing to step up and help the minor leaguers that they all were not that long ago, who the heck is going to help the minor leaguers? The answer is nobody.
I'm proud to announce a new sponsor for ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, and that's Design Air Heating and Cooling. You know, a few weeks ago, I was having an issue with my furnace, and I made a connection with Seth Goldkamp, who runs Design Air Heating and Cooling. He sent a technician over to my house. Not only did the technician arrive at my house, but so did Seth. They did a tune-up on my furnace, they got it running properly, but they also found a glitch in the system that is now saving me money on my monthly statement. That's all because of Design Air Heating and Cooling. They did that for me and my family. They can do that for you. They're a fourth-generation family-run company. They've been in business for over 100 years because they take care of their customers. The number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train. Find out more at designairservice.com. Thanks to Seth Goldkamp and Design Air Heating and Cooling. I'll continue my conversation with Brian Walton in just a moment. A lot of fun with him and a lot of fun to watch Blues action this season. Do it at Hotshot Sports Bar and Grills, 11 area locations. Score a hat trick of savings with great food and drink specials available during every Blues game, including Bud Family Beer Specials, the $4 Jack Daniel Cocktails, the $5.99 Blues Sampler Appetizer, $4 Blue Note Bombs, and the all-new Golden Bread Cocktail for $5. And remember, if the Blues score 5 any game this season, you get Hot Shots Legendary Tacos for only $1 each the next day. Get more information. Find a Hot Shots near you at hotshotsnet.com. They're a proud partner of the St. Louis Blues and your home for all the games all the time since 1990. And let's go Blues. I get my hair cut at Hair Saloon for Men. I take both my boys there. Their home base is in St. Louis. Founded in 1997, they have locations all around the Gateway City. 16 of them. So when you go into Hair Saloon, you get the perfect haircut. And it's so reasonably priced. Hair Saloon keeps client notes on each customer. So on each visit, you can be assured they know what you want. And they'll do that in the privacy of your own cutting station. This is what you get: complimentary beverage, relaxing shampoo, hot towel and a mint, and a complimentary shoe shine. All that for just $22. And for an extra $5, get a stress-relieving scalp massage or neck shave. All that done at Hair Saloon for Men. As you look at this, if you can try to explain, let's just say at A-ball, or even at AA is a little bit different. Let's say at A-ball. So if a kid plays a game, where are they getting their food? How does that work? You know, and what kind of meal money are they getting, and where are they getting their food at night, that kind of thing?
The team does provide them food, you know, at the ballpark. But a lot of times these kids are so poor. A very common practice in the minor leagues is a program called host families. And what that is are local families in the community open their homes, their spare bedroom, their, you know, a seat at the kitchen table, for minor league players to live with them during the season. So these kids have somewhere to stay where they can get a good meal, where they can get their clothes washed, where they can be around a family and normal people. Because a lot of times you're talking about teenage kids, 18, 19, 20 years old, maybe from another country, who are now in Peoria, Illinois in April when it's cold and it's nasty and it's foreign. And so, but why do they have to have host families? Why do they have to do this program? And the reason is because these kids aren't making enough to live on.
Man, oh man. Yeah, it's something that they definitely need to look at. Machado signs, reports are, 10 years, $300 million. The next domino to fall, you would have to think, is Harper. How about your take on what happened with Machado, and does that calm the waters a little bit now with the reports, or not reports, but the the talk of collusion and that owners don't want to spend money and those kind of things?
Well, first of all, I think the Machado signing is interesting in that he took the guaranteed money, the 10-year $300 million from San Diego, rather than a more lucrative offer reportedly from the Chicago White Sox. Ken Rosenthal reported that he had on the table an 8-year $250 million, so a higher average annual value deal with another $100 million in incentives that could have taken him to $350 million over 8 years if he hit all of his incentives. But rather than take that deal, he went with the 2 years more with San Diego and the guarantee, which, you know, is interesting. You know, if I was the guy, and maybe, yeah, good, $300 million is enough, but, you know, the opportunity to earn $100 million more would be an incentive to work hard and play well. And I'm sure that the White Sox, looking at his history, thought, hey, let's put a little juice in here for him so that this guy doesn't go into cruise control, you know, year one into a 10-year deal. So I think it's going to be interesting to see what kind of player Machado is for San Diego over the long haul. They got a lot of interesting young players, so, you know, could be an interesting team to watch. In terms of the impact on Bryce Harper, there was talk in the media about whether there was some type of standoff between Dan Lozano, Machado's agent, and Scott Boras, who represents Bryce Harper. And, you know, whoever signs first, then that gives the other guy a deal, the opportunity to say, I can top that. And so, you know, who knows, maybe there's a little bit of that. But it's interesting to look across the game at the number of top three agents who are unsigned at this time. The high percentage of them are Boras clients. And it's not coincidence. Boras has a well-known strategy to use offers of one team against others and wait and wait and wait until he gets the deal he wants. And I'm not being critical of Scott Boras. He is very, very good at his job, but he exploits the system that's in place. So those people who are upset about the delays in player signing, well, part of it is because teams are conditioned by the way that agents like Boras act, that there's no sense in putting a big offer on the table in November because the odds are it's not going to get accepted anyway.
Brian, step camp begins this weekend for the St. Louis Cardinals, and that's the top minor leaguers that are invited to come in and work with Gary LaRocque, and many of the top prospects are brought in to work with the coaching staff of the minor leagues. Step camp, describe what step camp is for those that don't know.
Well, first of all, everybody knows there's 40 players on a 40-man roster. Then the Cardinals invite another couple of dozen players to camp as non-roster invitees. So these are the players that are kind of on the cusp of, you know, getting to the major leagues, but they're not yet on the 40-man roster. So there's a next group of prospects just down one step. Maybe they're not quite as close to the majors. Maybe they're not quite ready. And the Cardinals created, I guess, maybe like 9 years ago, this new camp called Step Camp, which is sort of a pre-minor league camp in a way. They invite 29 players in. They spend special time with them in the mornings on things like, you know, how to deal with the media and, you know, to prepare them for off-field stuff as well as, of course, workouts on the field. And these youngsters not only get more individualized attention with the coaches, but because these players are in camp sooner and they're more prepared, they're more game-ready, when St. Louis wants to call that unknown minor leaguer over to wear number 97 or 98 or 99 in a 1 o'clock game on TV, you know, it's going to be probably one of these players from Step Camp. So, you know, you've got some guys that are throwing early. You've got some additional catchers and infielders and outfielders that maybe are some names that, you know, were drafted early that people know about, but maybe some names that folks haven't heard of.
I want to go over, if we can, four, maybe five of the players I think that Cardinal fans would be interested of hearing about in this Step Camp. And I think the one that is always going to garner a lot of attention was a little bit of a controversial pick a few years ago, a shortstop that would have been a top five, maybe top three. It's at one point, some thought would have been maybe the number one overall pick in the draft that dropped. And that's Delvin Perez. Where are we at right now? He'll be a part of Step Camp again. Where are we at right now with Delvin Perez inside the St. Louis Cardinals organization?
Well, Delvin Perez is you said, he's the first round draft pick in 2016 by the Cardinals. Now he spent three seasons in short season ball. So he spent last year at State College, short season Class A, New York Penn League. Usually a top prospect gets out of short season ball by 3 years. So Perez is behind. You know, in his development, he had a stretch of good ball where he hit the ball well at State College, but for most of the year, he struggled still. He's just not hitting the ball with any authority. Now, defensively, He's a tall, rangy kid, but he's a very, very good shortstop. But he's still as thin as a whip, and he just doesn't have any strength at the plate. Jose Oquendo's worked with him very, very closely the first couple years. Obviously, last year Oquendo was in St. Louis, so he couldn't as much. I'm sure that Perez has called Jose his second father. So hopefully, with Jose back on the minor league side, and many of the other coaches, they'll be able to help Delvin Perez take the next step ahead in his hitting. And chances are Perez will open the season at Peoria, Class A, and we'll have to see if he can finally start to show some of that promise that he had when the Cardinals drafted him first and paid him, $2-3 million.
Another top draft pick, Lucan Baker.
Lucan Baker, an exciting player, was drafted in the second round with a compensation pick by the Cardinals out of TCU. The only reason that Baker was still around when the Cardinals selected him was that he had a couple of fluke injuries in both his sophomore and his junior years that caused him to lose time. You look at him and he's kind of, he kind of looks like Matt Adams too. He's a big hulking guy, but he can play first base okay. He's not bad at the position. Tremendous power potential, probably more power potential even maybe than Matt Adams. But he's got to be healthy. He reported to Peoria, spent the time there last year and did good, not great, but he was still coming off that injury in the spring. So this will be Lucan Baker's first year to play a full season as a professional, and he's a guy that he has something that the Cardinals and every team needs. And that's raw power.
I should mention that some of these guys are brought in from step camp or throughout spring training, if needed, during these games. And you may see him this weekend where Mike Shildt will say, hey, go grab me Delvin Perez off those backfields. I want to see him. I want to see him hit. Sometimes that does happen, or see him late inning situation in a tight game. I want to see how he reacts here. You may see that happen. How about Junior Fernandez? That's a name that intrigues me, and I know fans have heard about him.
Junior Fernandez, hard-throwing right-hander, looked like he was, headed for stardom. Hurt his shoulder in 2017 at High A Palm Beach, and really lost about a year. They brought him back as a reliever, so they said, "Hey, okay, rather than let him start, come in and throw 15, 20 pitches and show us your gas," because he's a guy with triple-digit fastball. So he's had a step backward in his career. He's not in major league camp, but he's a guy that, if he can show he's healthy, has the potential to become an impact reliever down the road.
And he was at Memphis at one point last year. Austin Warner.
Austin Warner, great story. Left-hander, went undrafted, started in an independent league team, and the Cardinals scouts noticed him. Cardinals acquired his rights. And then this last season, he was promoted like three times. Ended the season in Memphis rotation, and as everybody probably knows, all the great starters that Memphis had got called up to St. Louis, and they were really short of arms, even though they were getting ready to head in the playoffs. And Austin Warner did a real nice job with AAA Memphis. So he's a guy in step camp, interesting guy. Depending on what happens in St. Louis, the Memphis rotation could be tied again. So Austin Warner, even if he does well, might have to go back to Springfield if we end up with the Gombers and Ponce de Leons, et cetera, back in Memphis to start the season.
I should be honest, as I was getting ready to record this with Brian Walton, I said, "Brian, those are the guys I want to talk about." And he said, "Yeah, that's good. I like that." And then I said, "Brian, who else should I ask you about?" And he said, "Make sure you ask me about John Torres." I said, "Well, let's do it. John Torres. How about John?"
John Torres is an interesting guy in that he came over to the Cardinals in the trade for Oscar Mercado. Folks remember Oscar Mercado was a good running center fielder, but it looked like he was going to be blocked by Harrison Bader, so the Cardinals traded him away, and they got two players, an outfielder, Connor Capel, who is a good prospect in his own right. He's also in step camp. But then they also got this young kid from Venezuela, John Torres, still a teenager, and he came over and joined the Gulf Coast League team, and for the last month of the year, during August, he really, really performed well. Good-sized kid, a lot of power, still young. But the fact that a kid who played in the Gulf Coast League last year is in step camp this year is a signal that the Cardinals think that he's the kind of kid that might be able to make the jump to Peoria this year. Because, again, the kids in step camp, they're not thinking they're probably going to be in extended spring training. They're thinking that these are candidates to make one of the full-season teams. And so anytime the Cardinals move a player from Gulf Coast League to Peoria, that says something about how they're thought of as a prospect in the organization.
Now, Brian, we're always honest on these podcasts, are we not?
Of course we are, 100%.
Now, you know I do my homework, correct?
Yes, you do.
And you do your homework. Now,
I do my best.
Yes, you do. You always do your homework. You do an unbelievable job on the website, the Cardinal Nation. Now, I always try to give to be honest and on the games. I try to be fully transparent in what I do. So I'm going to give those a little insight on these minor league games, which I think by the sixth inning, many times spring training, these are minor league games. I try my best to get to know these guys as well as I can and do a good job and get to know them down here and talk to them. But I got to be honest. Okay, Brian? I'm trying to be honest here. I have a little cheat sheet, and it's not just a sheet. I call it sheets. It's called the Prospect Guide, which is given to me by the Cardinal Nation, which is written by one Brian Walden. Let's just say that I'm looking at it right now, which is in front of me. Now, this weekend on February 23rd on Fox Sports Midwest, when some kid comes in the game, let's just say I'm going to sound fairly educated on this kid because I have Brian Walton's homework in front of me. Brian, thank you very much. I appreciate that. You're going to make me sound very good, I would like to think.
You are very welcome. And I would say that the Cardinal Nation Prospect Guide is not only written by me, but also Derek Shore, who's my Springfield beat reporter, but he's also has a very strong scouting orientation. So for the top 50 prospects, well, actually about 60 prospects, we go, each of us go into depth about these players, but Derek kind of takes it from a scouting perspective. So, you know, what kind of stuff does a pitcher have, that kind of thing. And I look at it more from the roster, how does the player fit, where does he look in the organization. So the two of us together, I think, do a very comprehensive job of educating the readers about these various prospects. But in addition to that, the Prospect Guide has a lot of history information, so you can look back at you know, who the Cardinals have picked in which drafts, how much they've spent, you know, which international guys they've gotten, and just tons and tons of details about the Cardinals minor league system. So, and it's also available both in the book form and in PDF form. So,
well, hold on, Brian.
Who want it either way can get it.
Well, here's my point. So you can go over to your neighbor's house, and you can say, hey, were you watching the game today? And the neighbors are going to say, of course, I was watching on Fox Sports Midwest. And they're going to say, hey, did you see that guy come into the game in the seventh? Oh, yeah. And then you can say, well, I knew that he was drafted here, and then he was traded here. He signed for here, and he came from here, and his mother's from here, and then they did that, blah, 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 blah. And that neighbor's going to be like, well, how did you know that? Well, I just knew it off the top of my head, of course. But really, they knew that because they picked it up at thecardinalnation.com. That's how they're going to know.
I appreciate that, Dan, and you're right. I mean, there's all kinds of players. Seth Elledge, interesting right-hander that the Cardinals got from Seattle. You know, one of the first players in the 2017 draft to reach Double-A, an exciting guy who's in big league camp. And a lot of folks are saying, who the heck is Seth Elledge? Well, you can read all about him, what he's done, and the potential he has. He's our number 30 ranked prospect for the year, for example.
So just don't let anybody else know that I kind of did some of my homework through the CardinalNation.com. It's going to be our secret, okay?
Yeah, you bet, Dan. I'm sure nobody's listening at this point.
Don't say that either now. Come on.
I'm joking. Of course they're listening. And this, you know, and by the way, I want to say, I really appreciate the folks who do listen to the podcast every weekend who offer their positive feedback. It really does mean a lot.
Oh, it's awesome. I would advise anybody, go to thecardinalnation.com every day. Great stuff. Love seeing it every day because, Brian, throughout the season, I go there every morning after the Cardinal games. I see what's going on with the Cardinal minor league teams, get the recaps, and obviously the Cardinal Prospect, Cardinal Nation Prospect Guide 2019 is there, as Brian mentioned, PDF form, or you can order it so you can get it in your hands as well. Brian, thank you so much, and we'll catch you up next Wednesday. Great stuff.
Thanks, Dan. Talk to you then.